This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know that feeling when you have something that's really been bothering you, or when you've been fixating on something in your life that's looming large in your mind? We all carry around different stressors in our lives, big and small, and I think we inherently know that when we keep them bottled up inside, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, and to figure out how to work through whatever it is that's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced major trauma. There are plenty of benefits it can have for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. And don't underestimate the power of boundaries either. Those are super important. If you've been wondering if you should give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's a fully online experience and designed from the ground up to be convenient and customizable to your schedule. To get started, you just have to fill out a brief questionnaire that will match you up with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/filmdaily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/filmdaily. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to feature an interview conversation that hopefully provides a little peek behind the curtain into how some of the theatrical exhibition space works a little bit in Hollywood. My name is Ben Pearson. I am an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer and box office analyst, Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
All right, Ryan, as of today, we're actually recording this a little bit in advance just to be transparent with everybody. But as of today, while people are listening to this, you are in transit. You're going to CinemaCon in Las Vegas. And in the lead up to CinemaCon, I thought it would be a cool opportunity for you to talk to somebody who's actually in the entertainment industry about the theatrical space and the whole exhibition scene. And you have an interview set up on this very episode to do that very thing. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so we had the opportunity to speak with Jed Harmson. He is the head of cinema and group entertainment at Dolby. And specifically for you movie lovers out there, that has to do with Dolby Cinema, which is the thing you've probably heard of. So that is a premium format screen that you can go to at a lot of theaters now. So yes, people know IMAX and whatever, but Dolby Cinema has been expanding in that space in recent years. And I don't want to spoil it too much, but part of the reason Jed came on the podcast is they have unveiled a new program that is going to make it easier for theaters that want to convert one of their auditoriums to Dolby Cinema. And so, you know, we've seen movies like Godzilla Kong, Dune Part 2, that are having like outsized performances on premium format screens. And Dolby Cinema is very much expanding in that space. So for those that want premium format tickets, for those that have been enjoying that sort of thing, Jed is one of the guys pulling the strings and making that possible, trying to change that, trying to shape that part of the industry moving forward. So this is very much a pulling back the curtain and looking at, okay, what are you getting for your extra money? How does Dolby compare to IMAX? And, you know, getting it directly from the guy involved.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So let's just dispense with the formalities, Ryan. Let's just cut straight to your conversation with Jed.
I am here speaking today with Jed Harmson. This gentleman is the head of cinema and group entertainment at Dolby Cinemas. So if you have experienced a Dolby Cinema at your local theater, this is one of the people responsible for that experience. So first off, hey, Jed, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. And I certainly appreciate the credit on delivering the impact of Dolby Cinema, but your viewers should know there's thousands of people at Dolby here who have committed their entire careers and dedication to sight and sound to providing those experiences. So I at least want to give them their due.
Of course.
Frankly, they contribute a lot more to the movie going experience than I do.
Well, all right. But in fairness, you are the head of the pyramid here. So you probably,
I am
certainly responsible for some of this. So, but before we get too far into this, just for your average person that's listening here, and honestly, for my own edification as well, what is Dolby Cinema exactly? Like, I think some people probably at least aware that it is a form of premium format screen at a movie theater, but how would you explain that to someone who had no idea what you were talking about?
Sure, happy to. So Dolby Cinema is Dolby's perspective on what the pinnacle movie going experience can and should be. And so for us, that really focuses on three different elements. Right, the best sight, which for us is our unique and proprietary Dolby Vision projection system, where we were the first HDR projection solution in the market to show brighter, brighter brights, darker black level, more colors, more detail and picture clarity. So that's one key component of the Dolby Cinema experience. The second is sound, which obviously Dolby has long been known for. Dolby Cinema includes our latest audio innovation, which is called Dolby Atmos, which is an immersive object-based sound system. So that instead of sounds just coming from channels or very particular places, they actually can be objects in a general volume to really give you a much greater sense of the filmmaker intent and really immerse you in the story. And then last but not least for Dolby Cinema is an element of Dolby specified and designed specifications and implementation. So what should an auditorium look like and feel like to enhance that sight and sound experience? So things like the size of the screen and your proximity to it and the curvature of the row, ensuring that your sight lines are unimpeded, minimizing the amount of ambient light in the room so that you really can take away that visceral Dolby Vision experience, things like that. So it's all three of those elements all together that we then, work with our exhibitor partners to put out into the world.
So, going a little bit deeper here, when you talk about premium format, IMAX is the one people are probably most familiar with. And, for a lot of films in IMAX, you have movies that are getting filmed in IMAX cameras, and, there's this whole IMAX thing that a movie will go through. Is there a process for like a movie to get the Dolby treatment? And what is that exactly? Like, what does it look like if a movie is presented, through the Dolby filter, as it were?
No, that's a great question. So short answer is yes, there is a analogous, if you will, Dolby treatment to have films in the Dolby Cinema experience. So the first on the Dolby Atmos side, so I'll start on the sound side, is we work with re-recording mixers and sound editors and many folks on the film to actually, we've enabled a whole bunch of post-production stages with Dolby Atmos sound systems so that when they actually create the soundtrack and that score and effects and dialogue and all of that, they're doing it in a indicative Dolby Atmos immersive audio soundscape. And then it is our magic and our responsibility to translate the intent on that post-production stage into the Dolby Cinema theatrical environment. So that's one element where we come into play on the sound side. On the picture side, it's very similar. We've similarly went and enabled a whole bunch of post-production and partner facilities with our unique Dolby Vision HDR projection system. And so ultimately what that looks like is what we call our bright level or our white level on the projection system is double that of standard digital cinema. So we're twice as bright as most other things on the market. Our black level or the black reproduction we can do is over 500 times what the normal cinema projector can do, and many, many, many more colors. So similarly, we'll bring the film into one of these facilities that has our projection capability and work with the colorists and the post-production team to give what in our mind is the most impressive and captivating picture version of that story of that film. And then we bring those together to create sort of the Dolby Cinema film, if you will, which then gets sent to the theater and played out for moviegoers around the globe.
So, IMAX, I think a lot of people think like, oh, it's a huge screen. Like that's like for the layman, for your average moviegoer, like that might be how you look at it. But then you have other premium formats like Cinemark XD out there, for example. How does Dolby sort of compare and fit in there? Like, is it, a screen comparable to IMAX? Or, what is Dolby compared to those other premium formats? Like, if you have a moviegoer out there that has an option to see something in several different formats, what sets Dolby apart?
Yeah, and look, obviously I have a particular bias on this answer, but where Dolby Cinema fits in is it is one of those destinations to go and see a movie, analogous to choosing to see it in IMAX or an exhibitor PLF like the one you mentioned. From our perspective, what makes it different is, again, the picture that we deliver with Dolby Vision is incomparable to anything else in any other offering. Again, that's from a from an objective scientific standpoint of how bright the image is, how dark the image is, how many colors we can produce on the screen. Certainly on the audio standpoint, we have a market-leading immersive audio system that we bring as part of that overall experience. And I wouldn't underestimate what that overall design, when we think about sight lines and acoustic isolation and all those elements that really make it the best implementation of both those Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos technologies. And Dolby Vision in particular has been exclusive to the Dolby Cinema program, and is really one of the key differentiating factors for the Dolby Cinema offering.
So let's lean into that bias for a second. You would go so far as to say, and you even said like scientifically that like the projection on Dolby is better than IMAX. Like, are you know, is that like something that you guys are out there sort of, you know, trying to put out in the world that like, hey, we literally have the best thing here?
Look, yeah, short answer is yes. We believe we have the best thing. We think we have the best picture, the best sound, the best overall auditorium design that takes both of those dynamics into consideration, as well as consumer comfort and things like that. And so we believe that when we combine all that together, it is the best way to see a movie. It's the most transformative way to see it. And the one that many filmmakers, in our discussions, believe is closest to their vision, their filmmaker intent, if you will.
Do you have a specific filmmaker example in mind of someone, you know, with one of their films that like said that to you, like where, you know, because I think, you know, Nolan is famously a pretty big proponent of IMAX, but do you have someone, you know, kind of in your camp that's been a proponent of you guys?
Yeah, I mean, so to be honest, we have a lot of proponents in our camp, and I don't want to pick and choose and marginalize anyone, but I'll offer one,
Okay.
which is I do think Greta, who was an incredible advocate and really supportive of using Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos in Barbie over the past summer, I think really appreciated the differentiation that our technologies had as part of that. As part of her film and the story she was trying to tell, and I think has done some really impactful testimonial work on how when I hear her speak about it, that Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos are sort of the most compelling ways to see that film.
Well, so on the subject of Barbie, which we're of course talking about, is Dolby, one of the reasons we're talking is that, you know, Dolby Cinema had its biggest year ever in 2023, and that's not like post-pandemic, that's ever. And that was largely due to Barbie and Oppenheimer. So I guess, like, you know, obviously I'd love to hear some insight into that because we've heard, you know, I'm a big box office guy, so I talk a lot about, hey, we are not at all back to pre-pandemic levels, yet you guys are here seeing more business than you've ever seen. Now, was that purely driven by just a spectacular summer with two hits that nobody could have seen coming on that level? Or is there more to it than that?
So I think there's it's a both and. So certainly those two powerhouses in the summer were an incredible boost for the overall industry, as well as for Dolby Cinema in particular. But I think there's more to it than that, because our Dolby Cinemas have the highest average per screen box office of to my recollection, any PLF offering in the market. And so part of that is really about what we're seeing is a strong preference from consumers to the premium segment of the market. So to your point, yes, overall box office is looking shy of pre-pandemic levels, both in 2023 and is looking as such for 2024. But we are continuing to see a lot of growth in the premium segment, and those premium screens like Dolby Cinema representing an outsized percentage of the overall box office on a particular film. And I think all those dynamics sort of come together that have helped us have Dolby Cinema's strongest year in 2023.
So you mentioned the per screen average, which is, you know, a huge thing for box offices. Now, obviously, like IMAX, you know, is the big one that everyone talks about, and that's, you know, a big thing there is that you're paying more for a ticket. Now, if you're getting those bigger per screen averages, like how does like a Dolby Cinema ticket price compare to like an IMAX ticket, for example? Like what's your pricing model look like?
That's a good question. You asked one that I don't have a really succinct answer to. Because the honest answer is we run a global business, right? So we have Dolby Cinema partners here in the States, as well as in Korea, Japan, France, UK, so on and so forth. And so the pricing is not a one size fits all because every territory and region is a little different. But in general, what I'd say thematically is that our model and our approach is similar to IMAX in that there is a ticket surcharge, if you were, there's a premium price for the Dolby Cinema experience. So it does cost more on average than, a traditional, standard 2D presentation, if you will, or something akin to that.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about like what might justify that premium experience. Obviously, Barbie and Oppenheimer sort of had, was a dual phenomenon there last year, where Nolan was able to sell Oppenheimer as a big IMAX experience. Warner Brothers did very well selling Barbie as that experience. But we're talking about summer tentpole blockbusters there. I know Across the Spider-Verse did well for you guys as well. But is there are we talking about just big blockbusters and those tentpole type things that play well in Dolby Cinema? Like, or are there non-blockbuster type things that benefit from this? Like, what, where does that sort of benefit extend to? How far does that extend with Dolby?
I appreciate you asking that. So the short answer is it extends from big blockbusters to art house films and everything in between. So we have over 600 films or features that have been released or committed in both Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos since we started the program. So one of the big differentiators that we perceive at Dolby is the breadth and depth of our content pipeline. So I talked a little bit about what we've done to enable the post-production and the production community to make these features, quote unquote, in Dolby, right? In Dolby Atmos sound and in Dolby Vision picture. So we've done a phenomenal job on enabling a significant pipeline of content, to your point, from big blockbusters to smaller films, and allowing our exhibition partners to have much more flexibility in what they program, knowing that whatever it is they want to program, it will still have that Dolby differentiation and that Atmos and Vision experience in a Dolby Cinema.
So can I press you just a little bit? Is that do you have an example of like a film that one might not think of as like a traditional premium format film that benefited from Dolby, like in the past couple of years, something that comes to mind?
Oh, sure. I mean, we can always. I'd appreciate your perspective of what you consider big box, but Quiet Place. Incredible use of Dolby Atmos technology, right? Seemingly a little ironic because the point of the film is you're not supposed to be making sound. Hopefully, it's not a spoiler. It's been out for a while, but it's actually the fact that sound is so infrequent in the film, if you will, that it was leveraged Atmos in a particularly compelling and unique way. And I even still go back to one of my favorite films, which was Inside Out, where they use the Dolby Vision technology really almost as part of the story, where the saturation of the colors and the overall vibrancy on screen was different when you were inside of the main character's head with the animated characters than when you're out in the quote unquote real world. So again, that's a animated example from many years ago that was in Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, to something a little more recent in a totally different genre. And again, there's been a bunch all
Yeah,
in
there's
between.
nothing like getting to watch Bing Bong die in Dolby Atmos. Anecdotally, I always tell people that is the hardest I've ever cried in a movie ever. Like, I've never, nothing messed me up like that. So I can imagine, hey, that benefited.
But mine was up. Up was the opening of Up was my bawling sequence.
Yeah, I think that like everyone shares that. So one of the things we're talking about very specifically today, and I want to make sure we get to this, is you guys are having, by the time this goes up, have announced that you have this new, I guess let's call it an initiative, where theaters are going to be more easily, it's going to be easier for theaters to upgrade to Dolby. Am I understanding that correctly? And can you explain that a little bit to us, how that's going to work?
Yeah, no, that is exactly right. That's what we're going to be announcing at CinemaCon coming up here shortly. So as I mentioned, to date, the only way that Our exhibitor partners and consumers have been able to get the combined power, if you will, of both Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos is through this complete Dolby Cinema package. Excuse me. And as I mentioned, one of the components of that package is the whole auditorium design and all of that. Well, we sort of took a step back and said, well, look, there is a reality to our market in the sense of we've all, we have the pandemic and there's other things in the industry that have inhibited box office for the past handful of years. And some of our exhibitor partners, many of them have all come to us and said, look, we love Dolby Vision. We love Dolby Atmos. One of our challenges is we have a whole bunch of these PLF rooms, right? Their own exhibitor branded PLF rooms that we've invested significantly in. And it's really hard for us to go undo that work and then, spend what can be millions of dollars in redoing that room another time. So is there a way that you can provide a pathway to that combined Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos experience without having to recreate the environment? And that's the program that we're going to be announcing and bringing to market.
So I guess my question is, I know IMAX has pretty rigorous standards for anyone that has like an IMAX theater. They have auditors that will make sure everything is up to standard. And a big complaint from moviegoers that I hear frequently, people that don't go to the movies often anymore, is they'll go to their local AMC and the projection sucks and this and that. So are you going to be able to maintain the quality that you have currently associated with like Dolby with this new program, even if it's going to be like sort of e an easier barrier to entry, I guess?
Yeah, that certainly is our intent and our plan, right? So we do have, and a lot of this is taking the learnings from having now deployed hundreds of these Dolby Cinemas around the globe, is the plan is not just, hey, go ahead and give us a call. And if you want a projector and a sound system, sign the check and off you go. It's much more meant to be in collaboration with our exhibition partners. So we'll look at the rooms together, understand the architecture, understand the fit and finish, and how they may impact, like I mentioned, ambient light or acoustic isolation. Because ultimately, we still want our goal in this program is to still deliver a really high quality visual and audio experience that isn't dilutive either to the Dolby brand, to our exhibitor partner brands, or to the filmmakers and the teams that have created these features. So that certainly is the ethos, if you will, of what we're bringing to market. And we currently think we have a good way to do that.
Can I steal about 5 more minutes of your time? I don't want to take too much of it.
Of course.
Okay, great. Okay. One of the bigger things is we've seen a lot of talk about, Dune did a ton of his business because of premium format. So what we're seeing is there are fewer moviegoers now. Something like 20% of moviegoers that used to go to theaters before the pandemic have not yet returned. But the people that are going are willing to spend more money, be it popcorn buckets, premium tickets, whatever. Do you think that's the future? Is it just about maximizing what you can pull from the moviegoers that go? Like, as in more money per customer will make up the difference? Do you see that as the future?
Oh man. So I appreciate that. I know the data indicates that currently. And so now I'm taking maybe less of a Dolby specific sort of point of view and more of I've been in this industry my entire career. I love it dearly. I think the answer honestly is somewhat both and. I think we have a responsibility to grow our viewership, right? The people that are coming into these auditoriums and experiencing films across all the demographic categories, if you will. And I think part of that is ensuring that we have a robust slate of content theatrically for them to go engage in that are stories that that resonate with them. And I think, the Oppenheimer Barbie weekend is a great example of if we do that as an industry and we do it right, kind of all tides rise. They're both great films, very different. And resonated with a really broad set of audiences for a whole bunch of different reasons. And so I think the more diversity we have in the stories theatrically, the more we will kind of recapture and then grow that overall viewership. I do also see, if I'm being perfectly honest, a general gravitational pull towards kind of a higher revenue or a higher ticket per patron. But I don't think that is out of just arbitrarily wanting to charge people more. I think it is incumbent on all of us in the industry, and certainly this is what we do at Dolby, to there's a willingness to pay, as you referenced, but we need to deliver something that is actually spectacular, different from what they get in their home, leverages the value of that communal experience together, and offers them a sight and sound and a memorable movie-going experience that they can't have any other way. So sorry if that was a little soapboxy, but something
No,
I'm pretty
appreciate
passionate about.
the soapbox. There's no, I mean, like I'm a guy who values the theatrical experience dearly. So for me, you know, it is an important thing. And I guess one of the last questions I have is that, okay, so you're gonna, you know, make it easier for people to, you know, perhaps get a Dolby Cinema in their theater. So you're obviously gonna expand the amount of premium format screens in the country, and I believe the IMAX is expanding as well. Are you worried about an oversaturation point with those premium format screens? And like, at what point, you know, have you guys tried to factor that into your model, like making sure that you're not sort of, you know, overextending that market?
Yeah, so we certainly do have that as part of our consideration. And I think in short, what we see right now is we're certainly not near that saturation point. Again, the PLF or the premium large format segment of the market is still growing in a really healthy fashion. We're not seeing any cannibalistic traits, if you will, either between certain formats or even within, you know, the ones that we power. But yes, we are mindful that, you know, as much as I would love to say that every screen in the world with Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos is great, it's also a reality that the more ubiquitous, right, something premium becomes, almost by definition, it becomes less premium. And so, you know, I think there's a balance on how that plays out in the market. But at the moment, what we're seeing is that there's still a lot of room to grow in that premium differentiated segment, which we'll have with Dolby Cinema. And then with our new offering, where it's the Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos technologies for exhibitor branded PLF rooms.
So one last thing before I let you go. And again, I want to thank you so much for your time. You know, I know you being the head of a company makes you busy, so I do appreciate it. But what would you say broadly is the biggest challenge? Like, because you have a lot of, you know, vantage from your view here. What is the biggest challenge facing the theatrical industry right now moving forward? And what are you at Dolby doing to try and solve that problem?
Ooh, that's a very contemplative question. Well, so first, let me also clarify. I don't run Dolby. Kevin Yeaman is our CEO who runs Dolby. He's a huge advocate and supporter. I also just want to make sure that he gets his kudos on this.
Sure.
So I just think the biggest challenge facing us is what we talked about just on my last soapbox rambling, which is about this notion of reclaiming viewership. Because if we're not able to tell compelling stories and deliver them in a way that is really differentiated and unique and harnesses what I believe to be sort of our innate desire to have communal experiences, I think that to me is the biggest risk to the industry in the most existential sense. You know, all of the details of, well, what if a ticket price does exactly this sense versus, you know, pricing elasticity and all those elements. Yeah, those are all tactical things. But to me, those are all secondary to, it's incumbent on us as an industry to tell compelling stories and show them in compelling ways that people can't get in any other avenue. So then that, to the second part of your question, that's why we invest so much as a company in advancing the science of sight and sound to make, you know, storytelling as captivating, immersive, breathtaking, pick your description in Dolby as it can be. And that's what we have thousands of people of the company dedicated to, from PhD scientists to our legal team and finance partners and sales and everyone else. The one commonality is everyone there is in lockstep in the goal and pursuit of improving sight and sound, because those are the senses through which we primarily take in these stories, and we want to make sure that we're letting moviegoers do it in the best way possible. in particular in theatrical environments.
Ryan, if you had to pick one thing, what was maybe your biggest takeaway from that conversation?
I think I've spoken to heads of companies before and or heads of divisions, and I think the thing is they very much, you know, they go through literal PR training and things because they, you know, they want to make sure they're sending out the company's message as they see it. And I think what I appreciated about Jed is that there were a few times where the man paused, collected his thoughts, was very clearly trying to give me an honest answer for stuff that, you know, like he wasn't just trying to sit there and read off a press release. He was actually trying to offer me some insight and you guys some insight. So I did appreciate that. And, you know, obviously, look, the guy's gonna, you know, try to put his company's message out there. But I appreciated his ability to answer stuff honestly and be as forthcoming as possible.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, my plan as of right now, Ryan, and we'll see if how this goes in terms of like travel and all that stuff, is maybe to have you back on the show on Friday after CinemaCon is over and just give me like an info dump on, you know, your experience there and like all the coolest stuff that you saw along the way. I would highly encourage people to check out slashfilm.com over the course of this week to read the coverage that we're going to be churning out based on Ryan's observations and stuff. I mean, I've covered CinemaCon for a bunch of years and it is wild. It is pretty fast and furious. And I think there's going to be a pretty decent amount of stuff that is going to be like previewed there or showcased there in some form or another that people are going to care about. So definitely stay tuned. If you're listening to this podcast, just like refresh Slash Film a bunch of times throughout the day as this week goes on. And then hopefully if the schedules align, we'll have Ryan back on Friday to do kind of a debrief.
Barring the absolute unforeseen, I will make sure we can do that Friday episode. And yeah, look, and if you guys want to make it easy on yourselves, follow me on Twitter at Ryan Scott Writes. I'm also available on Threads or Blue Sky at that same handle. And I will be sharing everything that I am discovering during CinemaCon. So if you want to just keep up with, follow my socials and it'll make it easy on you guys.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, cool. So thanks for that, Ryan. And yeah, you can find much more about CinemaCon and Dolby Cinemas and all sorts of stuff at slashfilm.com. Slashfilm Daily is typically published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailback topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.